When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Nightly, folks. I'm joined by my favorite Canadian right now, Mason Dixon. What's up, bud?
Not too much, man. Just getting ready to go home for the real Thanksgiving this weekend.
Yeah.
Excited to kind of go home. I already have a tea time booked on Saturday.
Oh, my God. Recording this Friday. You do. Of course you do.
Yeah. I will be bringing my clubs back up with me. My parents didn't let me bring them up the first time, but they can't stop me, so they're coming up with me on the way back.
Yeah, I'm sure they're afraid, one, they could get stolen, two, they can get broken.
They're my clubs, man.
That is
no
true.
It was more of a I was prioritizing the clubs over my clothes.
I'd have these Callaways next to the bed.
Yep. Well, and because I found out, I was like, whatever, the season's short, like, you know, October probably gonna stop, like they're gonna close and then I won't have any need for them. And then I found out our athletic center has a free golf simulator.
Oh shit, that's so sick as fuck, dude.
So I am going to be golfing.
That's awesome. This
yeah. Well, I'm moving. Shit. I know, I'm so excited, but moving on into some more Habs related stuff, and we can get to the other shit talking later. I want to first just say our thoughts and prayers are with Carey Price. A lot of respect, you know, just towards him for doing what he needed to do, understanding that it was, you know, something he needed to do to take a step away from the game to make sure that he was healthy, not only for himself, but for his family. And I love the way the Canadiens organization handled it. Ducharme, Bergevin, they both said they were caught off guard, but they fully support him. And they hope that more players continue to step forward if things like this occur. And just general reception from the hockey community has been great. And I guess we're not going to speculate into too much about what it is. I believe the general consensus is that it's a mental health thing. I think that's what the Canadians said, but they won't go into it. And we're not going to speculate. That's, you know, his private life. So we were not going to worry about that. And yeah, that's all I really have to say on that. Praying for Carey's speedy recovery and hope he takes all the time he needs, whether that's, you know, 30 days as per the minimum, or if that's 3 months or the whole season, whatever he needs to get better. At the end of the day, he's a human being, so we want him to do what he needs to do.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Hopefully he can, you know, find a way to, you know, if it is a mental issue, to find a bit of clarity, you know. At this point, I don't even – yeah, I'd love to see Carey Price continue to play, but I would rather see – Carey Price, you know, like not be affected mentally, you know, like have like a weighted burden. Best wishes to Carey Price, at least on my end. You know, obviously you said it for yourself, but just dealing with mental illness, and if it is that it's a constant struggle, constant battle, and I can't imagine what it's like to be someone that's in like such a spotlighted role. It's got to be even worse.
Yeah, so moving on from that, at least the personal side of it. On the hockey side of things, Jake Allen's going to be the starter for the foreseeable future. Montreal picked up, I can't remember his name now, Montembeau, or something like that, yeah.
I'm looking at
the Florida goalie. We claimed off waivers. That's looking like a very important pickup now. It'll mean Primo is able to start in the AHL. He's not going to be rushed into a backup role. It's, you know, looking at what Carey Price did for Montreal, that selfless action,
yeah,
giving himself up, it's really important now and more than ever. And we can see how he's basically single-handedly saved the Habs, because if we didn't have Jake Allen, our season would already be over.
It is Sam Montembeau. But yes, absolutely. Sam Montembeau. And you saw a lot of it, you know. Well, first off, you know, I was actually super proud of, like, the Twitter community for just having Carey Price's back. A lot of, you know, best wishes on Twitter for a guy that, you know, mid-season form you see a lot of hate for. But I did see a lot of, you know, obviously I don't think Carey Price saw this as far ahead. But you think about it now, that Carey Price, what he did during the expansion draft to save Jake Allen, you know, to keep him around, he more or less now it's even more of a blessing that they did what they did, because, I mean, think of the scramble we would be in right now if, you know, if Carey Price has to step away and we had lost Jake Allen to Seattle. And, you know, like, what do you do? You got Primo, and then now you're going to try to scramble and find a free agent goalie for, you know, most likely a 40-plus game season. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a little far, a little over the heads. But I saw that, and I thought, wow, you know, that if we didn't keep Jake Allen, we'd be in some big trouble right now with this season. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
No, I agree. I think if we didn't have Jake Allen, like I said, I think the season would be basically over. Like, it wouldn't be, especially in the Atlantic Division. You know, there's not – we lose 9 games in our first 12 to 14. We're not coming back, realistically, right? Like, you need to be sharp from the start, especially in the Atlantic Division. This isn't the Pacific or the Central, right? Like, the East is a different beast. And we're going to need Allen to play well. And we're going to need our defense to support him. And even just picking up that waiver claim pickup of Sam Montembeau, that really helps us too. I don't know a lot about him, but I know having a capable backup is really, really, really important. If he can provide some steady backup duties for us, that's perfect. Like, we need that. And especially if Jake Allen's going to have to ride this into the long haul, he can't play every game, right? If Price is out for a long time, we can't have Jake Allen playing 67 games. It just, I don't think Allen's ever done that. He has been a starter, and I think he's still capable of being a starter in this league.
He's also one who's going to need a break.
Yeah, but he's also a guy who split the duties with Bennington for a while. He split the duties with Brian Elliott before that. He's never been a workhorse like a Vasilevskiy, a Hellebuck, or a Carey Price. So he's going to need that support. So we'll see if Montembeau is able to provide that. I would suspect if Price is out for a while, we may see Primo if Montembeau struggles, but that's to be determined, right? Other news in Habs injury kind of land. Joel Edmondson looked like he's going to be out for a few more weeks. What turned into what was supposed to be a minor injury has turned into something a little bit bigger. So I'm almost positive they're not expecting him to be on the opening night roster, which is really going to open things up on the back end. I think we're going to see obviously Petrie's the man right now. So it'll be interesting to see who we see play with him. I know he was playing with Romanov the last 2 preseason games. So we might see that to start. And then I would suspect we go and see a Savard, Sherratt maybe pairing, or a Savard Kulak. And then this really opens the door for Chris Weidman, like we were talking about the other day. I think his spot, if Edmondson's out, I think his spot is guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Because I had just drafted yesterday and I was looking at Joel Edmondson because I was like, this is a great IR pickup. And they have him sidelined for 2 to 3 weeks at least. And that's from Dominic Ducharme. So I sort of had to scramble that. But no, Chris Weidman, like you said, looked terrific as we talked about last episode. But this kind of solidifies him to have a great opportunity.
You know? Yeah, definitely. And then I kind of want to talk about – I didn't get to watch the Habs versus was it the Sens? Let me see. Yeah, it's Habs versus Sens game last night. We're recording this Friday. But I did see the highlights and, you know, kind of a disappointing, I guess, end result. Montreal kind of blew it at the end there. Mm-hmm. But Petrie and Romanov on the back end, especially Petrie. Petrie looked like he's picking right back up from where he left off last season, shooting the puck well, being that workhorse on the back end for the power play, which, you know, with the loss of Weber, we really do need. And I think Petrie, I think last year was a career year for him. I think this is going to be another one, you know, knock on wood. But I just think he's got an opportunity to be the number one guy here. And I think he's going to take it. He just looks poised. He looks ready. And I'm excited to see what Jeff Petrie's able to accomplish, especially with shooters like Caulfield and Hoffman, Anderson, Drouin are back. Like, the offense that this team realistically could have this season, I think, is going to be pretty ridiculous if everyone's firing on all cylinders. And if Petrie can consistently give them nice zone exit passes and be that kind of quarterback on the power play that I suspect he's able to be, I think Montreal could realistically have a very potent offense this year. And I think we could see Petrie go upwards of 60 points.
Yeah. I'd love to continue. It's almost, it's not a tradition yet, but how excited we were for Jeff Petrie at the beginning of last season, you know, people talking about a Norris candidate. This is his true chance for him. You know, he's going to be defensively quarterback in the first power play line. He's going to get the major minutes. He's really evolved his offensive play the last couple of years.
Well, like the guy said, just gets better. And Petrie has not had a season, and this is a fact, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not making this up. Petrie has not had a season in Montreal in which his points per game hasn't increased, like the following season.
Yeah. Looking at it right now. Yeah, Jesus.
So, you know, I don't want to jinx anything. Knock on wood, knock on wood, knock on wood.
Right? Yeah, but I think this dude is finally, like, reaching prime. He's kind of what you're getting at. Like, he's just – and then he's going to get an opportunity to be the number one defenseman. I don't even think it's a make or break opportunity. I think Jeff Petrie, this is the year. If you're playing fantasy, this is the year to draft Jeff Petrie if you haven't. Like,
it's funny you mention it. I did draft him.
Dude, I'm about to make a trade because my cousin grabbed him and he's like, yeah, I know you want him. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking do. But we'll see. But Jeff Petrie, I have him in the THPN league. But this dude has every opportunity to be successful, and he's been successful without this opportunity in the past. So I can't imagine how tremendously explosive this season's going to be for him.
Oh, for sure. I think Petrie definitely is a late bloomer, and we've established this, right? But I think that he's going to really, I don't know. I just think he's going to have a great year. It's a gut feeling. And what I think people need to understand is that Petrie is, I don't think he's I think he's still an underrated commodity in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But this guy, like when we got him in Montreal when he first arrived, he was kind of a pleasant surprise. But the guy could always play. He was a stud in college, he was a stud in the USHL. He was actually quietly really good in Edmonton. It's just we never really noticed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm going with this is he's played 735 NHL games. He is a veteran in this league. To get to he's 735 games, not a lot of guys do it. He's been in this league for 11 years now. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's coming into this season. He's going to be calm. He's going to be prepared. And for him to finally have a shot at the number one spot, I think he's got the experience to, like, I don't think he's going to fumble it is kind of where I'm going. Like, I think he's got the presence and the state of mind to be able to kind of take it. And it's been something that I think he even took, we were saying last year, Petrie's the number one defenseman on this team. And I think quietly, you know, Weber is your captain, but I think quietly last year, he definitely took the reins. He was the number one guy. And I think that this year, especially, we're going to see a little bit more of that leadership ability he's able to provide. He was talking after the preseason game on Thursday, and he, you know, I've said before, I think maybe, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but I definitely have said it privately to you about how Petrie's voice kind of weirds me out because he's so soft-spoken and you expect him to. But he wasn't, like, he was pretty, I don't want to say assertive, but he was pretty confident in the way he was talking. He was speaking like a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think with the loss of Weber, that's definitely something that, you know, we're going to need people to step up with. And having Gallagher, having Petrie, having guys like Josh Anderson, I think it's really important. And I think this team is honestly positioned to be in, to have some decent success. I've seen a lot of, I don't know, how would you describe what we've seen on Twitter? Like with fans kind of like, oh, it's the end of days, they're going to be awful. And I just kind of disagree. I think this team looks good.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way right after, you know, all the trades were happening and shit like that. But we don't, you know, we assembled a pretty decent team compared to what we lost. I mean, granted, you're going to base it off of because these are your fan favorites and stuff like that. But the team that we have is not a bottom feeder team.
Not at all.
And, you know, just to piggyback just a bit on the Jeff Petrie thing, right? So, like, I'm just sitting here, you're talking, and I'm looking at his last year's stats, and I'm so blown away because, I mean, I guess you could say his 2017 season was, like, the best offensive Jeff Petrie. You know, he ended up having 6 power play goals and 23 power play points. But then you look at last season, in only 55 games, he's just about eclipsed it almost. He's just borderline with it, and that's with only 55 games. He had 12 goals, 30 assists, and it was dominating, you know, on the power play when it was prevalent, with 4 goals and 15 points on it. I'm just blown away that he was able, like, the last 4 years of his development with this team has just, like, how is Jeff Petrie so underrated? And I guess it's just you're getting eclipsed by Shea Weber, but I think that you really can't, if anyone who isn't on our side saying Jeff Petrie is the best defenseman on this team, if you didn't agree with it last year, just go look at the last 4-year numbers. And he's been, like you said, steadily increased his points, all of the offensive side of his game. I mean, his defensive side is amazing. I mean, there's a highlight going around on Twitter and on Instagram right now of last night's game, and he just dummied some poor Ottawa kid up against the boards. And my little friend group is like, did you see this shit? And my cousin's like, yeah, that's why I drafted him. He's not going to have him for long. Don't worry about that. But there's no way in hell that Jeff Petrie does not have another phenomenal year, because statistically he's only getting better. And it almost proves that, you know, like, he was a late bloomer, but I think that Edmonton just did not develop this kid right. And we're looking at one of those beautifully rare, you know, he was given a chance by Montreal, and just in a couple of years, you see this phenomenal two-way defenseman just being born. and I'm all down for the ride. Like, the blue Canadians Jeff Petrie jersey can't come in fucking quick enough. You know, like, I don't know. I just love this guy, and I'm expecting, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see, like, that 2000, I think, like, 17 Brent Burns year where he was just, like, might as well have been a fucking right wing. We might see something like that come out of Jeff Petrie. And he's a better defender also. Like, I don't know. This guy's just amazing. If he doesn't have a high Norris spot this year, it's going to be because the team fell apart. But he should be – everything is in the lines for him to have such a successful season. And he might be my most sought-after person to watch other than Cole Caulfield's true rookie season.
So you guys can blame Corey if Petrie has an awful year. He's singing his praises a little higher than I have been, but I understand where the optimism comes from. And he was on pace for 63 points through an 82-game season last year. So, like you said, the guy just keeps getting better and better and better. And I kind of want to focus on part of why I think he's due to have a pretty high production-wise, like, point total season is because of our wingers. Now, do I think Montreal's center depth is still an issue? Yes, I really do. I think it could be solved by Nick Suzuki. If Nick Suzuki goes out there and puts up a point per game or 70 points or anything close to that, I think Montreal is going to look pretty steady. I think Christian Dvorak is capable of being a good second line center. And I think Jake Evans is, you know, I've always had faith in Jake Evans. I think he's going to secure that third line center role. Mm-hmm. But where I really think Montreal's strength comes from is our wingers. We have some of the best winger depth in the NHL this year. I really do believe that. And just having guys like Toffoli, Gallagher, Hoffman, Anderson, Drouin, Armia, all those guys, I've named six, I think are all capable of playing in the top two, like top two lines.
Mm-hmm.
Armia is projected to be on our fourth to give some perspective. I'm forgetting someone.
Did you say Dvorak?
I didn't say Dvorak's a center.
Oh, my bad. I don't fucking listen to me. I'm trying to secure trades right now with Jeff Beach.
This guy. Yeah. Oh, Caulfield. Okay. That's who I'm forgetting. Caulfield. Like, you think about the firepower in that group. Armia is, you know, say what you want about Armia. Armia is not a fourth line guy. He's projected to play on our fourth line. Hoffman, the guy scores. What can we say? Don't know how he does it, but he scores. Josh Anderson, Drouin, Toffoli, Gallagher. Like, the amount of guys who can put the puck in the back of the net on our wings and just create offense is absurd. And for once in who knows how long, I think the Habs, I'm not saying they will, I'm saying they could, if the power play gets going, potentially have one of the best offenses, like a top 10 offense in the league. Mm-hmm. And where I think Montreal is going to struggle is our defense. When I look at our defense, I get a little worried. Petrie obviously is Petrie. I think he's going to be great. I love him with Joel Edmondson. But I do think Montreal is relying a little bit too much on the progression of Alexander Romanov. And what I mean to say is I was a really big fan of the David Savard signing. But since he has been here, and it's only the preseason, granted, though, I have not been impressed. I don't think he's a third. Like, he hasn't shown me yet. Obviously, things can change. It's really early. But he hasn't shown me that he has the ability to be a number three guy, which I think he needs to be. And even then, I think Edmondson's kind of a weaker number two guy. I think I'd rather him be a number three guy.
Right.
So we're really relying a lot on Romanov to step up, because from what we've seen from Sherratt last season, that's going to be tough if you're relying on him to be. So Sherrod's on your third pair, I think you're golden. Like, I think people say Sherrod's useless. The guy is not useless. The guy can play hockey. He's been playing all, I'd say the last year and a half, Sherrod has not been who I think when we first started this podcast, we would praise him. Like, he just hasn't been that guy. So I think they're relying a lot on Romanov. I don't know if he's going to be able to step up into that. I would say my only real hope, and it might sound crazy, is that Brett Kulak has some sort of year coming out party and really shows that he can, you know, live up to his analytical numbers, if that makes sense. You know, we've seen him play very well with Petrie, although I think that might just be a Petrie thing. If he can jump up to that number two pair and play with Savard or Romanov or anyone and really play, and I mean like play well, establish himself as a number three guy on this team, I think Montreal will be okay. But I don't know. I don't know how you look at it. I think Montreal's biggest weakness this year, outside of goaltending, because you know that's not a Marc Bergevin mistake. That's just Carey Price. We'll see what happens there. It's so uncertain. I think defense is what is going to kill this team this year.
No, I think you're right. I think offensively, you know, granted, we've lost some big names that were kind of players that really kind of held the glue together. But this team offensively looks pretty. It would be a team I'd be proud of if I just built this team on like NHL. It's solid offensively, but you're not lying. Defensively, it's kind of, there's a lot of mysteries there. I'm almost a little nervous for Alexander Romanov just because I feel like the short leash they gave him last year, you got someone like Chris Weidman, who's just been impressive. Like you said, if Kulak comes out and just has a phenomenal year, that's also not good for him. But I think once Joel Edmondson gets healthy, that's when things are going to get scary. If Romanov is just not pleasing the front office, I can see him being moved, possibly a scratch. And I don't like to think that, you know, I want this kid to get every opportunity he can. But defensively, this has got to be our issue. Like you said, though, goalies, that was just kind of out of left field. But I would hate to see them scratch Romanov. But if it's – fuck, dude, I don't know how to say it. It's like there's no true weakness offensively right now. There's a weakness in goaltending, can't do anything about it. So, like, what are they really going to keep their eye on? And I think it's going to be the young Alexander Romanov and whether or not he's capable of keeping, a top four pair defensive play. I wouldn't be surprised if he drops to three. And unfortunately, I could see Chris Weidman even moving up if he's the better of the three.
But I think that's what's concerning, right?
Yeah.
You're kind of relying on newly Kulak to do something you're relying on guys to do stuff that they've never done before. And that just scares me a little bit. I think
there's just a lot of there's a lot of what ifs, and with two new guys on the defense this year, you're putting it's kind of weird to think that a lot of our games might be in the hands of two brand new guys who are going to get, I think, a lot more leeway than two guys that have developed through this team and might not get every opportunity they can. I mean, Kulak, he's been here a little while. If he produces, awesome. If he doesn't, I think his leash is going to be short. But I feel bad for Alexander Romanov because his leash is like non-existent. You know, like they're like holding him by the collar. So like one little mistake, it's over. And then we see one of these brand new guys that are on the team get a better opportunity. And then Brent Kulak is kind of the odd man in. Like I'm not going to get in as much trouble as Romanov, I think, personally. Like, if it's anything to look at, you know, like what happened in the playoffs or what happened a little bit last season, if Romanov just does something awkward, that's it. you know, we might miss a couple of games without him.
Like, I'm not concerned about Romanov as a player. I'm concerned about the position that he may have to play.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think what Montreal needs to do is they need to go into this season. They need to get, I want to say like a certain number, but we'll say just throw out 20 games in. You kind of see where this team is, figure out when Price is coming back. And if you think we can be competitive and you think we can make a cup run and none of those guys have stepped up, you got to make a trade. Because realistically, Marc Bergevin, you got to look at it from Bergevin's point of view as well. The guy is trying to get money that Jeff Molson's not willing to pay him. He's in a contract negotiation right now. If you want to prove a point that you're worth that money, go out and win the Stanley Cup. Make a trade. I don't care. If we overpay for a solid number two defenseman, mm-hmm. and I'm not putting this guy out there as an actual trade candidate, but a guy like Ekholm, right?
Yeah.
Who's a legit number one, but if you know, another elite defenseman, then we go and win the cup or something and you make another push, anything past the third round, I think you're going to get that contract.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to, if no one steps up and this team's competitive, we need another elite defenseman, because otherwise we're not going far. Because say what you want, Weber was on 1 foot last year and he was still that guy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we don't have that guy anymore.
Yeah. So, it's kind of weird looking like how there was no problems last year defensively going into the season. We were like, you know, we were coming off the Trident year. We were adding Alexander Romanov, who we had absolute high hopes for, still do, you know, but look at it this year. Like, we're like, Ben Chiarot is glued in as a, you know, a sixth guy, you know, he's got to be on the third. He's got to be in the third pairing. It's just so weird looking at it this year and just thinking, you know, like with the absence of Shea Weber, just how unglued, unraveled the defense has really become. And this is where our worries are now at, as you know, compared to last year. We got an amazing talent pool of forwards, and that's where our concerns were more at in the beginning of the year. Whereas defensively, we were like, we got this. We got, you know, you just kind of fit, you know, our top three guys are going to fit somewhere in the first pairing every now and then we'll just build the pieces around them. But this year, defensively, is going to be probably our most looked after thing as far as, like, trades, like you're saying.
Yeah, and I just think we'll kind of unravel here and just – we've talked about the roster, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I just want to know – realistically, we'll start with the Atlantic Division. Where do you think I'll give you two. Where do you think Montreal could finish? And where do you think they will finish?
All right. See, this is – I'm so excited for the Atlantic Division this year. Every team really has a high expectation, except for Buffalo. I'd even say Detroit has a little youth going on. But Florida has become, like, just last year, I don't think it was really a fluke. I think that this is a team that has really made the push in the right direction. So, unfortunately, I feel like we're going to be playing – I'm thinking either, like, fourth or fifth in the division, if I'm being honest. I think more realistically, I'm looking right outside – of a wild card spot, because I think that this team is highly capable. I know we made a lot of, you know, this team is definitely looks a lot different than it did last year. And I think it's really going to come down to the goaltending issue and defensively, like just keeping pucks away from our very, I'm just going to say it, worn out goaltenders right now, because I think Jake Allen's going to get used and abused. And hopefully, you know, we just don't know what's going on with Carey Price. So, like, I think that's our biggest issue. And I wouldn't be surprised if we even fall to about maybe sixth. I think offensively we're going to be fine, but I think defensively is going to be our biggest issue this year, is to try to combat. I mean, just kind of look at preseason. We're losing by like one goal. We're putting up the points, but we're not capable of stopping the rush the other way. I think Toronto is going to just take the stupid fucking division, but that doesn't mean shit. I'm going to say, as a fan, I would like to see us fall fourth. But I think realistically we're going to fall fifth or sixth.
Yeah. I think a fourth or fifth place finish is in the works for Montreal. I personally don't think I think Boston's going to crumble this year. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Montreal is going to probably fourth or fifth. I don't know. I guess my best expectations for them would be probably fourth, but if Toronto really chokes it this year, there could be a third place. I think the two Florida teams have one and two solidified.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I say that about Toronto purely because I think that team got pretty defeated after that loss. And honestly, I don't think Jack Campbell's a better goalie than Frederik Andersen.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got hot. And I think Kyle Dubas kind of rode that to a safe face. It kind of made the Andersen decision easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
If Campbell can play the way he did, Toronto could push for first. I really do believe that in the Atlantic. I don't think he's going to. So I think Montreal could push for third, but I think realistically a fourth or fifth place finish is where we're going to see them. However, if Montreal's power play is in the top 10 this year, like I think it has the potential to be, I think Montreal is going to make the playoffs.
I respect them.
And that is a wild card finish. And most people have all the wild card spots going to the Metro. I really do truly believe that Montreal could make the wild card spot. And that's because the Metro is going to beat the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you have to understand. Yeah. The Metro teams are better, but they're also playing against tougher competition. Actually, I don't know. They're both different animals, but I guess the Metro doesn't have Buffalo and Detroit. The Senators are no pushover, but we have the Sens too.
I think the era of the Sens being the pushover is over. I think you might be able to beat the Sens, but every time you play them, you're going to get your fucking ass beat.
Oh, I agree, but I still think it's safe to say that the Sens are an easy – if I'm doing my projections, I can easily slot them into sixth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lose sweat over if they finish fifth, right? Like, it is what it is. So with that in mind, you know, Montreal has had multiple games against those teams. I think my seventh place finish in the Metro was New Jersey, and I picked up Thomas Tatar and Jack Hughes for fantasy. Like, I think that team is going to go out there, and I think they're going to play really, really good hockey. That's, you know, assuming Mackenzie Blackwood gets his shit together, but that's another story. So I do honestly, realistically think Montreal can make the playoffs this year. And once they're there, Carey Price is back, anything can happen. So I guess we're both kind of on the same page here. I'm not a big on this. It's the end of the world. Montreal's going to suck crowd. I think Montreal has a decent team here. And what you have to understand is Cole Caulfield is entering his true rookie season. We're going to get to see how much he can produce over an 82-game season. Nick Suzuki's been given the reins. Jeff Petrie's been given the reins. We have Hoffman, a true trigger man on the power play now. Christian Dvorak is going to have the opportunity to play with some real line mates, okay? And I'm not shitting on Arizona, but the quality of teammates is much, much better in Montreal. I think that this team could surprise a lot of people, as they always do.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And, I mean, it looks like Mike Hoffman is pretty damn close to coming back too. So I wouldn't be surprised if he if he ends up missing any time, he should be back second week. I'm excited to see what Mike Hoffman's about. You know, like you said, though, I think just the difference of quality here is going to be, you know, astronomical for Mike Hoffman. We know what Mike Hoffman's capable of. I kind of like preached it either last year or the year before that when I first started doing this with you. I was like, Mike Hoffman would be a great pickup. And then we saw how much Mike Hoffman wanted. And I was like, we definitely don't want to pay Mike Hoffman that much. But I think now, you know, I finally get a chance to see if Mike Hoffman was a good idea or not. But I think he is. I think he's going to add tenacity to our power play. And like you said, if our power play really comes true this year and it's a, you know, top five power play, I would not be surprised if we actually, you know, once again, you know, kind of turn some critics over. You know, we're a very strong team offensively. And if we can just out fucking score people, so be it. You know, that I have a lot of faith that we can do that. And if we end up doing that, I mean, fuck, I think we'll all be very, very pleased. My just fear is the goalies right now. And then we'll see how this defensive situation starts. I think that everybody on the defense, I think every play that we have has an absolute ability to keep us, you know, keep us at least in fourth place. It's just whether or not the pairings work out together. And God forbid if we get an injury on a major player, you know?
Yeah, no, I think, well, obviously this is always assuming, you should never assume healthy, but when we do these projections, we just have to, right? I can't predict what player is going to go down. But yeah, I think that'll wrap that part up of, unless you have anything else to add, so we can get into like 10 minutes of some fantasy talk before I got to pack my bag and
But
drive for 3 hours to Ottawa.
Before we get to the fantasy part of it, we have a amazing ad read by our sponsors, DraftKings. Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Who's not going to fucking score a point? The last 0-0 tie in NFL was 1943. So I'd say this is a no fucking brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total cash prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, throw down a dollar on any NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, a $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Mason, let's get into some fantasy talk, man.
Yeah, so we were talking before the podcast started about the THPN draft and my own draft. Obviously, I did not partake in the THPN draft this year, but you did, and you said there was some storylines, kind of some pettiness that we've seen in the NHL between the Habs and Carolina. We forgot to actually talk about that, but you said there was some squabbling between GMs that I'd love to hear about.
Well, it wasn't even just squabbling, right? So, I mean, you gather us together. We're going to talk some major shit. I mean, this is a league whose commissioner is fucking Shane Ryan. Like, we're going to get some back and forth. You know, we're going to piss off Neil, you know, which is hard to do. And I never want to see Neil mad. But, you know, there were moments where things were getting heated. But the Daddy Danos are set to be a strong team this year. I was mid fucking draft. Nate Thomas, great Nate Thomas, who made our Daddy Deneau designs last year, was like, why don't you just name it that? You have a great design. You can add that as the logo. I said, dude, that's such a brilliant idea. So now the Daddy Deneau's are set. But just to get an idea, right? So we're looking at it. I log into the draft. Everyone's getting ready, getting excited. I'm ranked 9th. I'm like, okay, you know what? 9th is pretty fucking good. It's a 10 man league this year. I'm picking 9th and 12th. I'm going to get a solid start. Well, this is a keeper league, just so y'all understand this. So the keeper league was set up. Shane had us pick six players from the previous year. One had to be a goalie. I decided to take Carey Price. I still think that's an amazing pick, considering who I had, which was Nedjel Stick or whatever from Detroit now.
Nedjeljkovic.
And I don't even remember my other goalie. Doesn't even matter. It's a brand new season. But everyone had to pick six. I ended up keeping Mikko Rantanen, Pettersson, Anssi Kopitar, and I want to say – I don't even see him. The last one doesn't matter. The point is, I picked my six, and everyone else picked their fucking six. Well, I think it was Nate. I think it's Nate. Someone did not pick six, right? Someone picked 4 or 5. And we were like, okay, I don't see a problem in that. You know, you just want to draft an extra person. You didn't really like who you had. The fucking draft starts. And this guy, who I believe is like 8th overall or 7th overall, draft starts. He immediately goes to first overall pick. And people start losing their fucking minds, screaming collusion. It was like, you've never seen the league, which still blows me away. You should watch it. If you like Friends, it's way better than Friends. It has nothing to do. They're not even similar. But if you're willing to watch something that old, you should watch the league. But people are screaming fucking collusion. I'm asking Shane how much does he want? I could pay him in PayPal to get the 2nd overall pick. Neil's losing his mind. Hockey Trolls is fucking just in love. He thrives in this situation. Anyway, this guy went from like a 7th overall pick and is an immediately taken. I forgot who was the first overall pick this year, but like, you know, if there's a Vasilevsky open, who he grabbed, you know, like Vasilevsky, Kucherov, shit like that. People losing their fucking minds. And it, we're like, well, how is this possible? And he's like, oh, well, I didn't choose a 6th person. So then everyone's losing their fucking mind. Everyone's screaming. It's all on live stream, by the way. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm upset, but I ain't tripping because now I'm 3rd overall. I'm going to grab like a David Pastrnak.
I don't understand. How did the order get fucked?
Because that person didn't choose all 6. He didn't fill out a complete 6-man keeper.
So he got to draft.
So he got
the algorithm thought.
Yeah, he lost. Basically what they did was he lost his 7th round or 8th round, whatever the final round was. He lost that round's pick to gain a 1st round pick because he didn't keep his entire keeper. You know, he didn't fill out all 6.
It just sounds like he was smarter than you.
He was smarter than everybody. Everybody picked fucking 6. But I didn't know this was going to happen. So everyone's like, oh, well, next year we're only keeping fucking 3 players, you know. So it's all fucking off. It's just going to be a mess next year. Anyway, this dude, if I'm not mistaken, picked fucking twice. Like, he only kept 4 or 5 people. So I'm like, dude, this is awesome. I don't give a fuck. I just went from 9th to 3rd. I'm going to get a solid start. I swear to God, first pick gets put in, the 2nd pick. I'm like, yeah, I got 30 seconds to choose. I don't need to choose. I've already got, you know, Pastrnak highlighted. It recalibrates to the correct fucking lineup, and I'm back at 9th place. I'm back at 9th place, and everyone it was kind of calmed down, and then everything loses shit again because people were like, you know what? I'm in a better position than I was previously, except for the guys who are at the bottom. But I mean, I like 10th, you know, that's a double pick. But once it switched back over, chaos ensued once again. I'm fucking furious. My first pick is gone. You know, I think I went with Mika Zibanejad because everything else was fucking taken from me. This draft, while I think I drafted a decent team, was a complete shit show. And because of that, everything I thought I was going to have was gone. And I basically had the draft just straight from the cuff from that moment on.
Ugh.
It was dirty. It was dirty. And I know Shane knew about it. He probably didn't, but that's just a story we're willing to tell. Is that Shane took a crisp, whatever a $50 bill is in Canadian currency, took one of those bad boys, and he just let the magic happen.
I mean, that sounds like it's a bit of a shit show.
Like, I just don't want to scream on here, but like, it was. If you guys just go back, if you're interested, go back and look. Just watch the first, I don't know, 2 minutes of this. It is just unreal. Like looting in the streets, hurricane season.
Well, I want to know what you think of my strategy. Okay, so I'm the commissioner for my league. It's a bunch of my buddies and me and two dad, my dad and one of my other buddies' dads. There's eight guys in this league.
Is it Kenny's dad?
No, it's Ryland's dad.
Oh, facts.
And so I won last year. He's not trying to brag or anything. And it was a keeper league, so we restarted it this year. So it's not a keeper league. We're just going to draft every year. Mm-hmm. And I got the third overall pick. So in our league, a goal is worth 1 point, an assist is worth 1 point, a block's worth 1/10 of a point. A win for a goalie is worth 3 points. And a shutout is worth an additional 2. So last year, I won because I had Vasilevsky and I had who else did I have? I had Vasilevsky and had a bunch of goalies. So first pick comes around. I'm like, I was already locked in. If I get the first pick, I'm picking Vasilevsky. I was gonna pass on McDavid. So I didn't even think I was gonna get him. But the first overall pick was McDavid. And then second was MacKinnon. So I was like, fucking golden.
Holy shit.
Yep. So I picked Vasilevsky third. Whoever drafted, I can't remember, someone drafted fourth and they had Draisaitl fall into their lap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so we go down. I think my next pick was, I'm trying to do the math in my head here. It would have been, it was like 12th, I believe. My next pick was 12th. 14th or 12th. 14th.
Yeah.
Drafted Darcy Kemper. My first two picks were goalies.
Jesus.
Darcy Kemper. And they're all like, what the fuck is this guy doing, right? Well, I draft Darcy Kemper. He's the number two rated, or at least for me, my number two rated goalie. So I'm fucking golden. We only have two goalies, too. Because, hear me out, I think the Avs or Tampa is winning the President's Trophy this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the goalie's individual stats are. If he's getting me wins, he's getting me points. Well, this starts a fucking fiesta on goalies. Everyone just starts drafting their goalies. The first forward I pick is Braden Point. My centers are Point, Hurdle, Suzuki, and Backstrom. Like, I have absolutely no forward depth. But I am just riding these goalies. So it's the most unorthodox strategy I've ever tried in fantasy. But if it works out, like, let's say if Vasilevskiy gets 50 wins, no shutouts, I've got 150 points. Like, I am so excited to see what happens. I think it's going to, honestly, I think it's going to totally backfire. I'm just waiting for, like, Tampa to put Vasilevskiy on IR until the playoffs or something so they can do some more bullshit, or Darcy Kuemper to go down. It's the weirdest strategy I've ever tried, and oh no, we'll see what happens. I you got to be risky to get rewarded, but I also, you know, made sure I got some Habs. I got Cole Caulfield, Petrie, Suzuki, and my absolute favorite fantasy pick, Tyson Barry, because you know that guy is just the secondary assist machine. So needless to say, I'm pretty excited for the fantasy season this season. But yeah, unless you have anything else to add, like, do we have anything else we need to talk about? Or
not really. I was going to run my leagues. I was going to tell you my team, but it's not really important. I think the main story was the collusion of Shane's THPN league. Other than that,
Shane's, I think he's a tricky character. That was intentional.
Like, I think I landed eighth place in that league last year, because I had to auto draft. I was at a Mudbugs game in the year that they won. I sent you a picture of their rings. Looks iced out. But yeah, no, this, my league that I run with a bunch of my friends down here, I've won it 3 years in a row. I lost it last year for the first time in 4 years. So I've come back with a vengeance. I have a stacked team as well. And maybe we'll get on to that next episode. But I think this is a great segue to get up out of here. I know you're ready to go home and eat. But folks, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Habs Nightly. Please follow us at Habs Nightly on Twitter, and myself at Bayou Benders. For all the Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving. Have fun, and just be safe. If you guys want to leave us a message while you guys will wish it up for Thanksgiving, you can always leave us one at www.habsnightly.com. We'll talk to you guys soon.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.